The reading this morning is from John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of God.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them. I heard somebody a few weeks ago on the radio mocking Christians and mocking religious faith, and saying, "We live in a scientific world now. We're rational beings. We're logical. We're reasonable. We can work things out. We can test things and measure things and work stuff out. And we don't need to believe anymore in fairy stories about God, about a God who created things, about a God who can walk through walls and doors to come and stand. We don't believe," I remember the phrase that was used, "we don't believe in ghost stories anymore." He described the Christian faith as silly. And I just want to think for a moment about the silliness of the gospel message. On Friday, I spoke about the foolishness of the cross. And today, I just want to speak for a few moments, and it won't be that long, but about the silliness of what we believe. You know, Easter's been a very busy time for some of us this year, and I just want to say thank you, really, to the staff team, especially in the choir, and to Richard and the musicians. Gemma, I don't know where she's gone, but she's absolutely out on her feet. I don't know if you've seen her this morning. She looks awful. I mean that in the nicest possible way. But we're just kind of, we need a day off, because it's been such a whirl of activity with moving from one service to another and setting up in between and getting ready and writing messages and preparing services and then some pastoral work in between, and some of you know a few pastoral crises as well. Sometimes it's felt like our heads are just spinning. Do you ever feel like that? That you're just spinning? Well, the reason is, it's because you are. It turns out you really are spinning. Have you ever looked up at the sky at night, on a really clear night, and noticed how some of the stars twinkle red? Some look a bit blue and white, and some twinkle red. Well, that's because they're moving away from us really quickly. The universe is expanding incredibly rapidly. And as the stars move away from us, the light waves from them get stretched out. And as the wavelength changes, so the color appears to change. We're in a universe, and we're shooting through space at incredible speeds as the universe expands. But not only is the universe expanding outwards, but the galaxy we're in is spinning and turning at about 600 kilometers per second, or roughly 1.1 million miles an hour. That's how fast you're going right at this moment. And as the universe spins, so inside it, our galaxy, the Milky Way, spins as well. Let's see the Milky Way. Not that one. Not that one. The other one, please. That one. So inside, the Milky Way is spinning as well. And the Earth itself is traveling around the Sun, 66,000 miles an hour. You're traveling at phenomenal speeds through space. While you were lying in bed this morning, thinking, "Shall I get up to go to the sunrise service, or shall I have an extra hour in bed?" you traveled 40 million miles. Doing nothing. If you're a jogger and you haven't been out for a run yet today, don't bother. You've been far enough already today. You've gone plenty of distance so far. It's all very strange, isn't it? And the reason I mention this is because it turns out that the world that God has created and the universe that God has created and the galaxies and the stars and the stars he flung into space all turn out to be very, very weird. For example, we're made up of billions of atoms, yeah? We know that. We're made up of billions and billions of atoms. And atoms themselves are made up of these component parts of the nuclei of protons and of neutrons and of electrons, all held together. And in between the different parts, that's just a little picture, but in between all the little parts, it turns out there's huge, vast expanses of nothingness. That you've got the nuclei and you've got the electrons, but between them is vast, relatively vast, vast spaces. If you were to take all the space out of the universe and compress it all down, it would fit into a sugar cube. That sounds unbelievable, but it's true. If you took all of the space out of space and compressed all the atoms down, we'd fit on a teaspoon. You may think you need to go on a diet. You don't. You're mostly nothing anyway. It's weird. It's strange. And if you think that's weird, think about this. You're made up of millions and millions and millions of atoms, but the atoms themselves are made up of subatomic particles. They're called bosons and hadrons and baryons and neutrinos and mesons and leptons and pions and my personal favorite, the muons. I just can't help thinking of a little cow in the middle of every atom, the muons. And at the subatomic level, there are quarks. And quarks themselves can be broken down into down quarks and bottom quarks and up quarks and charmed quarks and my favorite quark, the strange quark. As if the whole thing isn't completely strange already. And then you were probably taught at school, if you did any physics, that at the center of the atom is the nucleus, and around it fly the electrons like mini planets around a sun. It's not true. That's not what they do. The newest science tells us that's not what happens. What happens is the electrons don't fly in orbits. They disappear from one place and reappear in another without traveling any distance between. Instantaneously, they move from place to place. But not only do they move from place to place within an atom, they move between atoms. An atom that is in you right at this second, in a few moments, might be in me. It'll leave you and come and join me. You and I are joined in a way we can't begin to understand. These atoms, these electrons, they disappear from one place and reappear randomly in another. And like I said, they don't travel any distance in between. The two points in space are connected in a way that's just weird. They disappear from one place and reappear in another. Maybe somebody somewhere completely random. An atom in your fingernail right now, in a few seconds, might be in your ear or your big toe or in my big toe. Or in Jonathan's, or in President Obama's, or David Cameron's. 5 minutes ago, that your tip of your nose might have been you, but right now it might be Justin Bieber. Science, it turns out, is really, really strange. The atoms which make up you right now, a few seconds ago, might have been part of a table, or a mushroom, or a beach in Australia. Our very atoms are changing and moving and spinning, but we remain the same. Our hair grows and we cut it off. Our skin changes. Every atom in our body changes every few months, and yet we remain the same. How weird and strange is all that? We're made up of 99.99% space. We are nothing, and yet here we are. The universe is very, very, very strange. It's a very weird place where all sorts of strange things happen. I haven't even got time to talk about paired particles and what happens if you separate them and poke one, what happens to the other. It's a wonderful thing. Look it up on the internet if you don't. Google it. It's really, really interesting. Or how light particles manage to stay in one place and yet travel at the same time because they're both particles and waves. And one moves and the other doesn't. How does that happen? How can something stay still and be moving at the same time? Or that you're made up mostly of stardust, the same as the stars. Or this one's a strange one. Your toaster, when you put your toast in and push the button, ought to glow blue. That's what science says. It should glow blue, and yet it glows red. Is there a reason for that, Brian? Okay. I looked that one up. For some reason, the world is very, very weird. And the reason I say that is to say this. We are being told a lie today. And the lie is this, that science is rational and logical and has all the answers and makes complete sense. And faith is weird and strange and flaky and not for sensible people. Somewhere along the line, we've separated the two out and said one is reasonable and makes sense and the other is illogical and childish and shouldn't be considered by serious people. That believing in God is silly. The truth is that the whole universe is a very silly place. It's a very strange place. It's a very odd place where weird things happen. And science is struggling to keep up with it. The more it discovers, the less it knows. I was talking a couple of years ago to Ian Coffey, who's David Coffey's brother. And at that time, he was the pastor of a church in Geneva, the English church in Geneva. And I was having lunch with him and we were chatting. And he was saying when he arrived, the CERN project was well underway. And when they built the CERN project, the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland and France, they put in restaurants and theatres and dormitories and cafeterias and bars and all the things they needed to service. But they never put a chapel or a church in the site. But a few years back, they had to build a chapel and he was helping to look after it. And the reason was so many of the scientists who were working on the Large Hadron Collider were coming to a point where they're saying, I've got to believe in something. And they were turning to God. And there was an incredible work going on amongst the scientists at the Large Hadron Collider. Science is struggling to keep up. A few weeks ago, if you'd asked a scientist how old the universe was, they'd have said, oh, approximately 13.7 billion years old. Turns out, a fortnight ago, there was an article in the paper that they got it wrong by a factor of 50 billion years, they think. And there were those who would laugh at you and me and sneer at us and sneer at our faith and say that we're stupid. Because we believe that 2,000 years ago, God became flesh and walked amongst us and showed us how to live. That 2,000 years ago, they took him out and they crucified him. They nailed him to a cross and he died. But that wasn't the end. He rose again. The tomb was empty. And Jesus was seen by his friends and he walked with them and he talked with them and he ate with them. And they wrote it down and they recorded their empirical experiences of the risen Christ. There are those who would mock us because we believe in a risen Christ who can walk through doors and appear in locked rooms. They'd say, what you believe is irrational. It doesn't make sense. But I tell you, in this very, very strange universe, believing in a God who made us and holds all things together, who rose from the dead and who is with us right now by his Spirit, is actually one of the most logical, simple things I can imagine. I didn't take a blind step of faith when I became a Christian. I looked at the evidence. I weighed it. I read the reports of those who'd experienced Jesus. And then I made a decision. What was that decision I made? This. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and he's alive, and he's here today by his Spirit. There's nothing illogical about that. Over 30 years, I've experienced it every day, and many of you have too. It's not childish or stupid. It's observable, recordable fact. I know with absolute certainty, because people recorded it. I know with absolute certainty because for 2,000 years, people have been discovering it. Jesus is alive. I know it because for 30 years, I've experienced it. Jesus isn't dead. The tomb is empty. He is alive. And I keep meeting him and bumping into him in unexpected places almost every day. I know that Jesus died on a cross to take away my sin. Those things I've done which separate me from God are now done away with because of Jesus. I know he rose again to give me new life. And I know he can do the same for you. If you've never met Jesus, today's the day. It's not a blind step of faith. There are witnesses to this. I am one of them. This church is full of them. I know that you can meet Jesus today as well. Listen, if you can believe in Higgs bosons and muons, what's so hard about Jesus when there's so much evidence? And if you've never given Jesus a chance, if you've never asked him, then make Easter Day 2013 the day. This isn't a leap of faith which denies reason and is illogical. In a very weird universe, it makes perfect sense. Why don't you give it a try? Amen. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and evermore. Amen. Let's finish with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.